I have a lot to cover today. As always, I want to start with what's on your top plate. You all want to start with anything?
I think we're all set. We got our homework done, and we're ready for you.
Good. Joel, how did your appointments go last week? I think you were in Wilmington.
They went well. Very well. Had like 6 appointments over a period of like 2 days.
Were any of these appointments to tell your clients about your refined service model?
Absolutely, yes. I told every one of them about the refined service model.
And what was their reaction?
It was well. Like with Karen and Wayne Rogers, really good clients, you know, talking about the whole the multi-generational approach and the reduction of clients and how we're going to try to, you know, take a comprehensive approach there, you know, kind of a holistic wealth management, and we're actually running long-term care quotes for them right now. That came up in the discussion, so I think it was a really good touch, and it was a good trip.
Joel, I don't want to sound nitpicky, but I think words are important. What I heard you say is you told them you were going to try to deliver. And then I forget what you said after that. I would get rid of that word try. You are going to deliver a different level of service. Do you see the power of not using that word?
Absolutely.
All right. During that those conversations, were there any opportunities to have referral conversations?
I would say that wasn't the first and foremost thing on my mind. The first and foremost thing on my mind was to introduce the team, the new approach, delivering the blue folders, explaining the folders, explaining what we're doing, explaining Tim's role and Melanie's role with the team. And then I think that once we get these clients on board, and then I'm definitely going to be, you know, using that VIPSA script to look for the referral opportunities.
All right, good. You answered my next question. The question I just asked was, did you see the opportunities? Not every time you meet with a client is it the right time to have a referral discussion. I just want all of you to be more aware of those opportunities, and then you can't, once you're aware of them, Joel, you decide whether this is the right time or it isn't. Did as you think back, if it had been the right time, did you see opportunities to have a referral type discussion?
Oh, you mean on this? I didn't see opportunities right then because, like I said, I was really kind of more focused on the team and explaining all that and they're asking me questions about what are you going to do, what's Melanie going to do, am I going to be talking to Tim? So I was just trying to explain all that. And
got it.
Meeting in restaurants and lunches and things like that. So it wasn't like we're sitting in an office. So it was kind of a, you know, broken conversations and being interrupted. But that's definitely on the forefront of my mind as once I have people already on board, then to go back, and as we're setting up these quarterly calls and looking for opportunities there, that's where I'm going to look for. Anytime they use words, you guys are doing a great job, then we're going to launch into the, you know, the script of, we really appreciate that, we really work hard to do that. By the way, who else do you know that would appreciate this type of hard work for, you know, for having an advisor work for them? So that's kind of where I'm looking to integrate that.
And that's the right, you're in the right place. Again, my focus here is just to make sure that each of you are aware when the opportunity is there. Whether it's the appropriate time to have the conversation, I trust you. You know the situation, you know where you are, so on and so forth. I just want each of you to go into meetings, just having your antenna up for opportunities, then decide when you hear it whether it's the right time. Got it, Joel?
Absolutely.
All right. I'd like to do a quick checkup on where you feel you are with Supernova. This is week 12 of 12. We go to monthlies after today. Broken out into three parts, segmentation, organization, and acquisition. Tim, when you, the segmentation part, getting your practice down to its core, tell me where you feel that you are, where the team is, as far as having your practice down to the size you want it to be.
The size is not down to where I want it to be. You already know there are some restrictions with a former financial advisor contract.
Sure.
However, Supernova, I think, has been beneficial in regards to segmenting clients in the existing practice and the focus there on what we would call the top 70 or so clients that we give Supernova treatment to.
Okay. I didn't ask the question correctly. I know I'm well aware of the contractual obligations. Matter of fact, I was in the Morgan Stanley Birmingham office yesterday, and there's a team there, a good-sized team that's going through exactly the same thing that you are with a couple of partners who have recently retired. You made me look, having worked through this with you, made me look a lot smarter in front of them. given the contractual obligations that you have, Tim, do you think it's moving in the right direction? Do you feel, remember we talked about a sample brand, the first part of that sample brand is I have a concierge practice for a limited number of people. Do you feel you're making progress toward fulfilling that part of the brand?
Yes.
Terrific. All right. Melanie, same question for you.
Not a similar situation as Tim, but definitely feel like we have identified the Supernova clients and have put into place the model for servicing those clients, and it worked fine in June, and we're starting into July's. And I think that the scheduling and the way that we've segmented them is going to be sustainable, you know, for us as we grow the business too.
Melanie, have you had anybody who has had to reschedule?
I did have someone reschedule. It was just a different time of the day, but it was the same day.
Okay, but you haven't had anybody who has had to reschedule to a different day?
No, not in June.
Okay. All right. Have you turned the calendar over to someone else?
We still do that together. So
all
Katie
right.
And I look at the calendar together.
Okay. Katie, are you feeling comfortable with managing the schedule?
Yes.
Anything that Tim, Joel, or Melanie need to do to make that job easier for you?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, good. Melanie, as far as the segmentation, same question I ask Tim. Do you feel you're moving in the right direction to get the within the constraints that you have, you're making progress towards segmenting the practice?
Yes, I do.
All right. All right, Joel, same thing.
Yeah, so it's going well. So we were able to assign like 35 to 40 clients to the call center. So they're off the books. So that's huge. That's great. That all happened the 1st of June. Okay, how are you shaking your head? Yes. We're onboarding, the Supernova clients. We've already set up in the last 2 days, set up two quarterly cycles, call cycles, setting up actual calls in September, so 3 months from June. We're one of the things that's on our plate for the road team is to have Melanie or Tim sit in on my appointments and vice versa. So Melanie sat in on some appointments. So at Tim, we've got a lunch scheduled for tomorrow with another client, with Tim and Mike. So we're starting to integrate fairly well, and you know, as we go have these onboarding appointments is what I call them. That's where we're starting to set the call cycles and integrate and tell people they need to up their financial plan. So it's, yeah, I'd say it's going well. And I look forward to like 3 months from now. The other thing that I'm doing too is I should say Heidi. Heidi's migrating everybody from FACT over to 3D. So Tim and Melanie can now go and look at all the notes. And that's been something that she's been working on for about 3 weeks. So there's been a tremendous amount of work that's taken place from January until June to move things over to Supernova, but I feel like we're probably, I was going to say 80, Heidi's saying 60, 70, so if we say 70%, we're a lot closer to having that completed than we were when we were kind of just talking about this in January.
Good. I had another question I wanted to when you are talking to clients, Joel, about the team, what are you telling the clients is in it for them that you all have joined?
I start off with, we've made a commitment to reduce the number of clients so that we can offer a concierge practice to a select group of clients. And as a part of that, we want to take a holistic approach and have a conversation just beyond stocks and bonds. So we want to be talking about estate planning and insurance and trust and helping your aging parents and long-term care and identity theft. And so we really want to be like a concierge practice. And Melanie and I were in an appointment yesterday, and we went through this, and we said our average account size is about $2.5 million, and these people have about one with me, and they've got another $500,000 elsewhere, and I'm using the team to kind of go after more wallet share with these particular clients. And so that's how I'm approaching it. That's how I'm having the conversation with the clients. And like Tom and Dickie Dresser were pretty impressed yesterday. They said, oh, this really sounds great. This is very different than what we've done in the past. And Mel and I were both sitting there. And then today I'm following up with referrals for an attorney to give wills, and that's someone that we've already met with, Sue Haberberger, who knows what the team does. So we're trying to, you know, start that referral process with her. And so that's where I think feel like we're starting to make some traction.
When the client said, and I'm not going to have the words exactly right, this is different from what we've done before, that could have been, I'm not saying you should have done it. I'm just, again, raising your level of observation here. That was recognition of value. Agreed, Tim? Or Joel?
I agree.
Okay. So
I was too excited at the point. I was smiling. I was excited. I was telling them how excited I was. And they were excited, so we're all excited at the same time. Melanie was excited, too.
That's good. Everybody wins. Now, again, I'm picking on you again for words. You said that you are committed to reducing the size of the practice. You are reducing the size of the practice. Again, it's not something that's going to happen. It's something that's happening right now. All right, from an organizational standpoint, and I just ask any one of you to respond. You feel good about where you are from an organizational point of view?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And now we get to the last part of Supernova. The last is a focus on acquisition. What you see is when advisors get excited, like what you're talking about a second ago, Joel. That's a sign of confidence, and when advisors are confident, they're more willing to get a little bit outside the comfort zone and begin referral conversations. So that if you look at those three areas, segmentation, organization, acquisition, we'll do several things going forward, but which of those do you think should be our biggest focus going forward? Segmentation, organization, or acquisition?
Acquisition.
All right. I think that makes all the sense in the world. All right. I appreciate the work that you all have done. It hasn't been easy. I think you've made some hard decisions. I love hearing what Joel said a minute ago, that everybody was excited. What you all are offering, there are a lot of people in your market who would love to be in your practice because they're dealing with non-proactive advisors. They're dealing with advisors who only want to look at the investment side. You all are really different. The goal here now is to get in front of more people and tell your story. All right. Yeah, I'm excited about that. Now, let's pull out the homework sheet. What can you learn from your best clients? Now, the purpose here is just to get things stirred up a little bit, get you to see the opportunities that you have. The way you grow your business the quickest in Supernova is through existing clients, not necessarily new relationships into the practice. So, Mellory, let me start with you. How many clients did you do this for?
I did it for 10.
Okay. Does anything jump out at you? Did anything surprise you, positively, negatively, anything obvious?
Well, positively, numbers 2, 3, 4, and 5 were basically that they've been clients a long time, they're fully, plans fully up to date and fully implemented, their only advisor and their wills are up to date and everything's titled correctly. So that part was positive. Number 6, how they refer to us, it was either a financial advisor, financial planner, or wealth manager. All those were kind of the same.
Okay.
Referral. So out of 10 of them, only 3 have given a referral. And the first one, how did they come in the practice? Like 4 of them were from those old dinners that we used to do, you know, like take people out and take and so that was surprising to me. And then the other ones all were from either social or friend-like kind of.
Okay. Let me go back to the question number 7. 3 had given you a referral in the last 12 months.
Right.
Were you able to do that through memory, or did you have that tracked somewhere?
So I did it through memory, but we also track it in a way that if, like, we kind of do like a cluster, kind of like you do a geographic cluster, you know, all these people in Charlotte and all these in Raleigh. But we do from Jim calls, you know, here are the 8 people he's referred over the last 12 years. So what we're doing through this Supernova process is trying to indicate that on the call cycle also, so we track it and remember where they came from.
Good. Now, remember, in your folder, the not the one you give to the client, the one you keep, there was a tracking document in there.
Right.
Do you remember that, Melanie?
Yeah.
Okay, and again, on this theme of when you go into a meeting, you're always looking for an opportunity to have a referral discussion, I would strongly advise you before you talk to a client to flip to that page just to see where you are. It gives you an opportunity to say to a client, Bill, we thank you for giving us, putting us together with so-and-so. We've met with them, and we think they could be great clients. You don't give away specifics, but when people give you referrals, you want to go back and give them the result of the call. Bill, we met with so-and-so. She's dealing with her brother-in-law at Merrill Lynch. She just isn't in a position to cause that rancor within the family. But thank you for the referral. Anytime there's somebody you think we can help, we would sure appreciate a favorable introduction, whatever. So you always you want to know by client where they stand as far as referrals. Melanie, when you look at this, is there anything that jumps out at you not in general, but when you're thinking client by client, that would lead to activity, something that needs to be done? That's the way I'll stop that question. Anything to be done with these 10 people?
When I looked at each of them, I checked their interactions and some of the call cycle information in the past just to see when they were actually seen face-to-face, when their plan was actually updated.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, Supernova is looking forward. And I did reach out to a few of them that caused us to accelerate some things that had just not been done, like, in 2 years, you know, like whether it was updating the plan or, somebody's child going to college, that kind of thing. So it did create a little bit of action on my part that before I probably thought that was handled, but it wasn't. You know, months go by very quickly.
All right. From a branding, from a marketing point, why are you able to take the time to drill down like that? The answer is because we are significantly reducing the number of people in our practice, which gives me more time to spend with my clients. You see how all that fits together, Melanie?
Absolutely.
Okay, number two. You said that those are long-term, most of your top 10 are long-term clients.
Yes.
What I make up from that is that those people like you and trust you. Is that fair?
That's fair.
They'd go somewhere else if they didn't.
Yep.
They want to help you. But they don't, and I've said this to the group before, they don't wake up in the morning saying, I haven't given Melanie a referral for a while, I got to get on it. We have to remind them. So if these people are with you and they've been with you a long time, they want to help you, you have to give them the opportunity to do it. You have to plant some seed. All right. Do you have a go-to CPA, Melanie?
I do, but I don't know that will be the same person going forward as Tim and Joel and I are trying to determine which professionals we can work with that understand our business and that we can refer back and forth. So the one that's always been my go-to, we haven't gotten referrals from, and we haven't had the meeting with them to talk about our new business, but I referred to them all the time because they were friendly to financial advisors, and they took care of the client and did whatever it took and all that kind of thing.
Okay. Do you think they give referrals? Do you think they're giving referrals to somebody else?
I do.
Okay. Have you ever confronted have you ever gone to them and asked them why?
I haven't.
All right. I thought I had gone over this with you all, but let me – I don't have it checked in my on my checklist, so I'm going to go through it again. If I have gone through this, please stop me because I got other things I want.
I think you have gone over it. But so what we're doing is we are meeting with these CPAs that each of us use and going over – that exact script that you gave us.
Okay, good. Good. Thank you, Melanie.
It's just that we had to wait for tax season to get over, and we just have to get them all scheduled.
All right. I'm going to say something obvious, but I want to make sure you have this firmly in your mind. the number one reason that you use a CPA or an estate planning attorney, a specific one, is not because they give you referrals. It's because you know they will do a good job. Part of your brand is making sure that your clients have the very best professional help away from the things you do for them. So you would not refer a client to a bad CPA just because that bad CPA is referring to you. I know that. You know that. It's just part of what you do. Do you have a go-to estate planning attorney, Melanie?
No, probably not one. Probably four or five.
Okay, good, good. So if a client calls and said, Melanie, I need some estate planning work done, is there an attorney you can recommend? You've got no problem there.
Right.
Joel, same for you?
We're having lunch with the CPA and then my go-to CPA sometime, I think it's end of June, and he has not given me any referrals. He's told me he's mentioned my name to some people in the past, but I haven't been as proactive as I should to say, that's great. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of them? So that's definitely going to be something that's going to come up in the conversation. And then I'm also going to go back to the script that you gave us where you say, Lynn, I've referred six people to you in the last couple of years. I always circle back and find out, is there anything I've done that has made us more reluctant to refer, for you to refer business back to the road group? So part of the conversation that I want to have with Lynn Woodall is for us to introduce the team, the new concierge practice, and for him to start thinking about potential referrals that fit the model and really kind of start to try to prime the pump in that direction.
Good.
As far as planning attorneys, I have one, so that's where I'm kind of really looking to more to Tim and Melanie to kind of help, be more robust in that area.
All right, good stuff. If you've got a client and there are changes in that client's life that would require documents to be redrawn, who's going to see that first? Who's going to know about that need first? The estate planning attorney or you?
Me.
Because you talk to your clients on a scheduled basis. So one of the things you want to talk about when you're talking to estate planning attorneys is because you talk to clients on a regularly scheduled basis, you see changes that may require documents to be redrawn or codicils added or whatever, with the permission of the client, you bring that business back to them. Do you get that thought process?
Absolutely. So just to kind of expand on that, so one of our clients, his wife just passed away, and he hadn't updated his will, nor had she updated hers, and this is one of the estate planning attorneys that I use. I know that he's trying to think about referring clients to me because he asked me specifically, so what's your average account size? What's the minimum? I told him, and he's like, I just don't deal with too many clients like that. So, maybe we'll have to, that's where Tim and Melanie and I will have to have a conversation. He does a great job for clients. He's very reasonably priced. He did my will. But, we've got to kind of vet some of these things out. But I was able to inform him that the spouse had passed away and, he was going to reach out to the client. So,
a couple of things, and you've already hit on it. When somebody mentions your name, the odds of that person calling are not very good. Agreed?
Agreed.
Yeah, and you went right to the right spot. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of that person? Now, going back to the other thing as we were talking about bringing business to the estate planning attorney, you're meeting with an estate planning attorney who you haven't had a long relationship with, and you explain, and here's the bottom line. if he refers you to a client and there's a change in that client's life that requires a codicil, whatever, you will bring that, with the client's permission, you will bring that information back to the estate planning attorney. So you're out there, if he refers people to you and there are things to be done later on, you're going to bring the business back to him. You with me, Joel?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's not the old thing, you refer to me, I'll refer to you. That's kind of old and sometimes doesn't feel very, very professional. But it's when they know you're going to bring business back to them, well, I'm going to refer this to Joel because he talks to his clients on a regular basis, and he may bring some of that of their needs back to me. Got it?
Right.
All right. Let me hit on one other thing here. Again, going back to my checklist, I don't see a conversation about asking the enthusiastically endorsed question. Does that ring a bell with anybody?
I've been using that. It's in our blue mini me folder when we give it to our clients. Like yesterday with Tom and Vicki Dresser, I said, here's what we're going to do. We want to be able to offer some unique services to our clients. So if you have a provider, maybe it's your florist, maybe it's your dentist that you enthusiastically endorse, as we're having our quarterly calls, make a note of it and let me know. So what we're going to do is compile our own list of providers, and then we're going to have our own little mini Angie's list that we're going to be able to offer our clients. And both then they said, that's a great idea. So
it is a great idea.
Having onboarding meetings, I've been using that, and that's been one of the topics that we're having.
And while I was in that meeting with them, and we also talked about their interests, you know, that we might not know about, whether it's their charitable interest or their hobbies and that sort of thing. So, I mean, we're just kind of broaching, you know, you can't do it all in one meeting, but we're just kind of broaching these things and trying to be mindful that this is information we want from the client so we can establish, you know, some connectivity between them and us.
All good. The enthusiastically endorsed question is something that I want you to ask of every client about their CPA and their estate planning attorney. And again, I'm looking at the clock. We're getting close here. The question is, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA, for example? That's the way you ask the question. And if somebody says, well, Tim, why are you asking that question? They won't, but I want you to have the thought process, is one of the things that we do is make sure our clients have the very best professional help away from the things we do for them. That's just part of what we do. Okay, so you got that out of the way. So you ask the question, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? And the client is probably not going to fully understand how to do that. You ask the question, you don't say, do you like them? You say, can you enthusiastically endorse? Now, what you have to have is your definition of an enthusiastically endorsed CPA. For example, I've had the same CPA since 1995 or 6. He returns my calls. He is aggressive within the law. He explained to me that as long as I don't overstate the deductions and understate income, everything else is interpretation. I went through an audit. He walked right through the audit with me, took care of all of it. And the best way I can describe his service is the phone rang on New Year's Eve 5 or 6 years ago, and he was calling to see if I had implemented the things that he and I had discussed in October. I can enthusiastically endorse Alan Region. That's my CPA. So when the client says, well, what do you mean to enthusiastically endorse? You all have to describe what an enthusiastically endorsed CPA does. And now that you do that, now they know how to answer the question. Now they can give you the yes or no. They can say, well, no, I'm not getting those things. He sends me a packet. I send the packet back. They say it's ready. I bring my check. It's a pretty cold relationship. If a client cannot enthusiastically endorse their CPA, Joel, what do you have the opportunity to do?
Recommend one that we enthusiastically endorse.
Exactly right. We believe you give before you get. So you get to bring referrals to the CPA. You facilitate that meeting. You want that CPA to associate you with that client you're bringing to them. Now, if the client says,
"Can I add one thing, Rob? Can I add one thing?"
Of course.
So what we're in the process of doing too. This is just additional information for you. Is that we're vetting out all of the different CPAs and attorneys. Tim just set up a lunch last week with David Chambers and an estate planning attorney he's used, and we had a meeting with David and his counterpart, and Tim and I, and we're starting to vet that out a little bit. It's going to take some time getting on all these people's calendars, right? And we're introducing the service model of what we're doing, but just kind of giving you a little bit of background. So we are doing that, and to piggyback on what you're saying, we're going to vet it out, and then we're going to have our clients vet it out, and hopefully in the next 6 months we're going to have a list of 3 to 5 CPAs, 3 to 5 estate planning attorneys, 3 to 5, you know, dentists and doctors, and you know, that's kind of one of our goals as we're onboarding these clients.
Good.
Hey, Rob, let me interject. I think where you're going with this is I think it might be important to tell the CPAs, attorneys, other centers of influence who we would refer clients to that we are telling are asking our clients if they enthusiastically endorse their own CPA or attorney so that they're aware that we're asking that question to the client.
What purpose?
Well, for the purpose that we're mindful of excellence in service, and that if they cannot enthusiastically endorse a CPA, for example, that we'll tell our client that we are enthusiastic about you, CPA, and that we're going to refer our client to you. And I'm sure that is. Yeah, go ahead.
Here, I think you're not saying this to a CPA to try to intimidate them, that they're going to lose a client.
What's that?
Are you having this conversation with a CPA that is a CPA for one of your clients, or is
with the CPA who we're meeting with as a center of influence meeting.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We're asking a question of our clients. And that if we're enthusiastic about this CPA, then we'll tell our clients to that we will refer our client to that person.
Yeah. Well, let me finish the last part of this enthusiastically endorsed, Tim, and I think it's going to fit with what you're talking about. If a client says, yes, I can enthusiastically endorse my CPA, I get all the things you've just described and more, you say, great. One of the things we do is make sure that our clients have really good professional help away from the things we do. I like to think I know the good CPAs in Raleigh. You're having this conversation with a client who can enthusiastically endorse the CPA. Would you mind if I picked up the phone, use your name, introduce myself, so I could find out what they do? I get to work with CPAs around the area. This may be someone I want to include on my list. And the client say, oh, sure, call them. And you call the CPA and you say, we have a common client. You got to make sure that the CPA understands that you have the client's permission to use his name. He was here for our regularly scheduled meeting. You're doing an advertisement, and he was singing your praises. We get to work with CPAs around the Raleigh area. We like to know the good ones. Is there a time I could stop by and explain to you you could explain to me what it is you do that makes our common client so excited. Now, here's why they will take that appointment. They are just like you. They are looking for clients who have complex situations. CPAs can't make any money when there's not a complex situation. I mean, TurboTax or whatever can do it. So they want to have clients who have more complex situations. Guess where those people are? They're in your practice. And let me demonstrate. If you got a call, Tim, from a CPA and said, we have a common client, we were just meeting, and he was singing your praises. I get to work with advisors around the Raleigh area. Is there a time I could stop by and you could explain to me what you do that makes our common client so excited? If you got that call, Tim, you would make time for that CPA, correct?
Correct.
It's the same thing going the other way. They will meet with you because they want to have the opportunity to get referrals out of your practice. So I don't know if that some of that verbiage fits with what you described to me a minute ago. I do think it's important. This is a way you can expand your footprint. You can meet with CPAs, get your story out, get there, and find out what they do. And during that process, you're going to be able to talk about what you do. As a matter of fact, when I met with my CPA 7 years ago, when I started working with NAP again, he said, well, describe what Supernova is, and I did. And he says, oh, he said, I did that to my practice 2 to 3 years ago. He said, you have to generate a certain fee to be in my practice. He said, my number of clients went down, my revenues went up, and there was less stress. So CPAs understand smaller practices. One other thing I'd say, and I've gone way over, and I do apologize, is CPAs, when they refer to you, they take a risk. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
If you blow the client up, not only is the client hurt, but the CPA could lose a client. So it's very comforting to them. They're more comfortable referring to a practice like yours when you say, we talk to our clients on a quarterly basis. We have regularly scheduled portfolio reviews, so on and so forth. You're demonstrating you're not gunslingers. Get a hunch, buy a bunch. You all have a practice that is a concierge practice for a limited number of people. But I really encourage you to ask that question. I like the idea of having an Angie's List, no buts. That specific question about can they enthusiastically endorse their CPA and their in a separate conversation their estate planning attorney, I think can lead to some really good things. As a matter of fact, the first page of your folder down at the bottom, if you're using that template, there are boxes down there to make sure that you've asked that question. All right?
Thanks.
Very good.
Okay, here's what makes sense for our next meeting. Has Cindy scheduled our first monthly meeting yet?
Yes.
Okay. Here's what I would ask you to focus on. We all agree that acquisition is the most important thing going forward. I would ask you to track your referral conversations. Again, you can't start a referral conversation every time you see a client that comes across as insincere and overbearing, but there are opportunities that you are going to have. So I would ask you to do that, track that between now and our next meeting, and I would also ask you to continue to add people to the schedule. Make sense?
Yeah.
Very good.
All right, talk to you whenever the next one is. If you have any questions between now and then, don't hesitate to call me or send me an email. I will get back to you.
Okay, thank you, Rob. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, folks.
Bye.
Do you have anything else?